Blog Talk Radio.
Not be afraid of their government. It's a vice versa kind of mantra. Welcome to Here Be Monsters, our 30-day anniversary of boycotting the mainstream media and supporting Occupy Wall Street. The saying goes that until you wake up, we will fight for you. And the saying was made up by the Occupy Wall Street activists. So welcome to Here Be Monsters. We're part of a drumline of online radio activists, on air, some of us every day. supporting the occupations in the good old world and Occupy Wall Street. At this time, too, I'd like to mention that my local Occupy is Occupy Palm Beach, which is also Occupy Lake Worth. And we are sponsored by Roundtree 7, the number 7.com, a blog that the writers of such are the hosts for this show, Solidarity. My name is Gwendolyn H. Berry, and this is an official boycott of the MSM. The challenge right now is to calmly and smoothly as possible bring knowledge to the social consciousness and reporting as much as we can about what's going on and what's been going on. It's Occupy Oakland. And an Occupy Oakland yesterday, and if you give me one moment, I will actually get over to the news feed and relate it to you in a more comprehensive way. That's in Oakland, California, but the occupiers had previously been given permission to stay. Striking to cool the violent tone set by the Tuesday night upset were clashes with the Occupy Oakland protesters. Police pulled down all the barricades yesterday near City Hall, dramatically reduced their presence, and said they would allow nightly demonstrations in the area until about 10 p.m. Close to 3,000 protesters responded Wednesday night by gathering at Frank Ogawa Plaza, where they voted to hold a citywide general strike for November 2nd, when workers and students will be urged to stay home and show support for the Occupy movement. Now, the grassy section of the plaza, the site of an elaborate encampment that the police dismantled Tuesday morning, remained fenced off for cleaning, though not for long. By 7 p.m., the fence had been brought down and filled with protesters who began to chant, "Whose park? Our park." Anyways, that began, they pitched only one tent by 10 p.m. Some had gone home, some were still there, and the police, and in anticipation of a police raid, people began to march through Oakland. There was a late night conference held. Oakland officials said the plaza was a biohazard because of cleaning chemicals. Basically what happened was, and I'm sure that most people by now have seen the videos. In fact, the opening sounds of arrest and sirens is taken from the Occupy Oakland event. The police rushed in with tear gas canisters, and they were firing rubber bullets. You could see police officers pointing their weapons at Americans, and these Americans were not just a bunch of kids from school. The protesters are made up of, yes, college graduates who have been searching for jobs, but there are people from all demographic proportions that fill these Occupy crowds that are in the parks, and Oakland is of the same example. You could see in the camera and the film that was taken, the video that's making the rounds largely now, you can see where there were handicapped people. There was one lady in a motorized wheelchair, but they were throwing flash bombs in there and they were shooting with rubber bullets. They denied that, but the point is that it's all captured on camera. What ensued was that a young vet, 24-year-old Scott Olson, was hit in the head with a rubber bullet. Or basically, no, not a rubber bullet. He was hit in the head. I'm so sorry. He was hit in the head with a canister that was lobbed, and it's all on film, lobbed by a police officer into the small crowd that was standing in front. I mean, I don't think there were more than seven people gathered there, but a phalange of police officers were standing behind barricades, and they threw this flash bomb, and the flash bomb hit Mr. Olson, a veteran for peace, who was there as a veteran for peace, and it hit him in the skull. It cracked his skull. He's in critical condition at the nearby hospital, and let me troll down here because I have the edit. USMC Scott Olson is at Highland Hospital. And that address, in case you want to send him a card to get well or you want to send him some kind of support, his name is Scott Olson, and he's at 1411 East 31st Street in Oakland, California, and the zip code is 94602. And he's a Marine who's home from his duty over in Iraq. He's part of the Veterans for Peace, and he was hit by a flash grenade that was lobbed into a small group of people in a mostly deserted area by the police officers. It was a phalange of them. I mean, there's a great big old line of them. This brutality is much worse than the brutality of the police department in New York City. But brutal it was. The violence that ensued is frightening, but I think it will have the... Hello, Mr. Zombie. How are you? I always try to make it a point to say hello to whoever's in the chat room. So if you are wanting to send something like a card or even flowers or perhaps a donation to help this, because, you know, it occurs to me, I don't know if it occurs to you, but it occurs to me that Mr. Olson may be sued by the hospital for getting payment, because we all know that vets are among the poorest in this country right now. And among those who have no help from the government. So it's perhaps a good idea to keep in mind that he's at Highland Hospital on East 31st Street in Oakland, California, and that it's 1411 East 31st Street, Oakland, California, 94602. Anyways, the mayor of Oakland was herself a party to, or she was a victim of police brutality recently, but she apparently felt the need to, and there's been a whole lot said about her supporting the goals of the Occupy Wall Street movement, but... and high levels of unemployment, and she was actually magnanimous enough to thank the peaceful demonstration at Frank Ogawa Park last night before it turned into the melee that ensued because of the police. This was just, it was police brutality. It was police gone amok. They were given to, you can't but wonder if this lady mayor has been intimidated or what, but it just went freaking horrible. Mayor Jean Kwan is her name, and you can call her, and it's a really good idea to let her know exactly what you're thinking. Her phone number is 510-238-3141, and that's 510-238-3141. Basically, that's exactly, that is, she wrote a statement on her Facebook page after the heavy-handed police crackdown demonstration in Oakland. Mayor Kwan wrote a statement on her Facebook page praising the police for closing the Occupy Oakland protest encampment. Now that she is facing some anger from across the planet, she's backing down on her aggressive language, and she even says she supports the goals of the movement once again. She's committing to minimizing the police presence in the plaza and to build a community effort to improve communications and dialogue with the demonstrators. Frankly, it's a whole lot of bullshit, a backpedaling that she's doing in order to minimize the damage to her office and her tenure as mayor there. I think that's probably in the trash can, as they say. There was a press release that I wanted to share with you from the Veterans for Peace about this incident and Maureen Olson, and I'm quoting when I begin to read now. Late last night, Scott Olson, a former Marine, a two-time Iraq War veteran and member of Iraq Veterans Against the War, sustained a skull fracture after being shot in the head with a police projectile while peacefully participating in the Occupy Oakland March. The march began at a downtown library and headed towards the City Hall in an effort to reclaim a site recently cleared by the police that had previously served as an encampment for members of the 99% movement. Scott joined the Marines in 2006. He served two tours in Iraq and was discharged in 2010. Scott moved to California from Wisconsin and currently works as a systems network administrator in Daly, California. Scott is one of an increasing number of war veterans who are participating in America's growing Occupy movement, said Keith Shannon, who deployed Scott to Iraq. Quote, Scott was marching with the 99% because he felt corporations and banks had too much control over our government and that they weren't being held accountable for their role in the economic downturn, which caused so many people to lose their jobs and their homes, unquote. Scott is currently sedated at a hospital awaiting examination by a neurosurgeon. Iraq Veterans Against the Wars, and that's WARS as in WARS, because I'm not sure how many we've got. I'd love anybody to call in and tell me. I think it's six or seven. Sends their deepest condolences to Scott, his family, and his friends. The IVAW also sends their thanks to the brave folks who risked bodily harm to provide care to Scott immediately following the incident. Now, that's the press release from the Veterans for Peace, or the Iraq Veterans Against the Wars, regarding what happened to Scott Olson last night. And I do have a caller from the 517 area code. Yes, caller. 517, your mic is on. Hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Do you have a comment on the incident in Oakland last night?
Well, my name is Drew. A lot of the callers out here, they might not know me. I'm from Band of Brothers, founder of Band of Brothers, actually. We are a group that is against racism and against violence and against the government, standing up against the government right now. I've seen a couple of videos. I have not yet got to see the one of last night.
So you don't really have a comment on what happened in Oakland for Occupy Oakland last night and the tragedy with police brutality. But you do have something you're going to try and to tell me about the sales professional network that you work with. Is that my understanding?
No. I'm not a salesperson. I'm not anything like that. We're pretty much doing the same thing. We're pretty much doing the same thing as Occupy Wall Street and Occupy Oakland. We're trying to get word because of the situation that's been going on in these places. They really put us up on an edge that we are getting ready to talk to our mayor up here in Michigan. And God bless anybody that's been out there protesting and they got hurt by police. We are going to be talking to Oakland police, the people that were out there, and see what they're doing against their police, because if they're not doing anything, we're going to stand up. And whoever got hurt, like I heard you say something about a guy named Scott got hurt.
I don't remember your first name, sir. What is your name again?
Jural.
Jural. Well,
yes,
this show, the title of this show would actually tell you that we are a Occupy Wall Street solidarity show. We're on every day in solidarity and boycott the mainstream media, which does not give you the honest dope on what's going on. And what we're doing here is we're putting the information out on from the live stream media that's coming from the actual groups and the videos and all of the media that's being provided by the people involved in the movement. This whole movement is not just a national thing. It is a global thing. It's happening in over 1,800 different places on the planet and over 900 in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
Are you aware?
I am aware of that. I get my sources higher than a lot of people do. I back up my facts before I come out anywhere, and I do realize this, and this is the reason Band of Brothers is going out here and trying to talk to police departments and let them know Band of Brothers is not going to put up with this for our United States citizens, because they're going out there and they're doing stuff to stand up and trying to get our jobs spoken about, you know. And there's no reason if it's a nonviolent situation that these cops should be going out there beating on people and doing the stuff that they've been doing to, like, say, Scott's situation. I am sorry that Scott got beat up.
He didn't get beat up. He got shot by a Oakland police officer.
Oh, he got shot?
He got shot by a Oakland police officer. And the rest of the crowd got, you know, shock flash grenades thrown at them, even people in wheelchairs. It was a pretty awful thing that happened last night. A very terrible thing that happened last night.
I've seen a couple of the videos. A couple of the videos from a couple of days ago. And if it's anything like that, then, yeah, it has been getting pretty bad out there.
Well, this is an isolated event. New York, the white-shirted supervisors of the New York Police Department have been rather brutal. On the whole, though, the majority of police departments have been very cooperative, guiding, and avuncular. They've been protective of the Americans who are out there exercising their First Amendment rights.
I have been in to speak with NYPD. Actually, I do got a complaint number that they gave to me because I told them I wasn't going to stand for this, and if there wasn't something done, that we're going to go and try to make something be done about it because we're not going to put up with it. And, you know, I can't do anything about the people that were beaten up, but I'm going to try to make them know that there is someone out here in the United States that is trying to make this something happen. I care about my United States citizens.
One of the best things that you could do is to go over, if you're in New York, if you live in the city, is to go over and speak with the people at Occupy Wall Street in Fuccotti Park. They have a whole legal team there. They have a lawyers guild. You can speak with those.
I am aware of that. I didn't have the funds to get out there, and I wish I could be out there. And I was supposed to be there with another gentleman, Michael Khalif, which I don't know. He said he made it, but I'm not for sure if he did. I was supposed to be there, though, and I wish I would have been, but for some sake, I wasn't.
So you're part of a group?
Yeah, we are a part of a group that stands up against stuff like this.
The name of
and
your
we're
group.
Not Band of Brothers. We're trying to unite. Yeah, Band of Brothers.
Uh-huh. Go ahead. I said uh-huh. Go ahead, continue.
We're trying to unite as one, you know, not trying to come out here and be like some of these hate groups. We're trying to go stand up against them because a lot of people have been having death threats. I've been getting emails left and right on that. You know, I've been dealing with a lot of situations right now.
I would say to you that Occupy Wall Street is a cohesive group. All of the Occupy groups have general assemblies, and they're pretty well organized. And they do actually have legal representation. And it's the police who are supposed to be protecting them, and in most cases, the police do.
They are not.
I beg your pardon?
The police are supposed to be out there protecting them, but in a lot of these cases, they are not, though.
The police they do as they see fit. Sometimes they're the ones who become the mob, as in Oakland and as in New York on the Brooklyn Bridge. That was not so much a mob as it was a direct, you know, it was a directly manipulated event to arrest people. That was, who knows who put that together. The point is that all of these groups and this whole movement is peaceful. It's called a horizontal protest. Do you know what that means?
I'm not exactly for sure on what they have a particular what that means, but
It means that people are not actively being abusive or manipulating events for violent purposes, that they're using their bodies as currency and just occupying, being in a place. A lot of people don't understand that, but Gandhi used that tactic, and so did Martin Luther King, establish a movement. And the message of this movement is that we are the 99%, and 1% of the global population is telling the rest of us what we can and cannot have and the way our life, the quality of our life, will be given to us. We're saying that's wrong. It's got to change.
Oh, it's that, you know, there's certain people that comes out here, and I've been getting hits left and right. Like I said, there's people that has been telling me I'm in the wrong for what I'm doing, because I'm actually going out here getting ready to go speak on some things, on the same situations that 99% has said they're out there doing. We are trying to do this, and we've been getting hate mails. Last night I was on a blog talk radio and got told by these two dudes, I didn't know what the heck I was talking about, that the protesters were out there for no reason. But I continued to tell that gentleman, okay, why are you sitting here telling me I don't know what the heck I'm talking about, and you're telling these people to go to Washington, when you should be the one getting your butt up there and going to Washington instead of running your mouth about it? I don't hear nobody else going out there instead of 99%, or like the Oakland, you know, or Chicago. We got all these people going out there and speaking about something real that's going on, and all these people are trying to, some people are trying to come out here and manipulate and say that these protesters are not doing what they're supposed to. Yes, they are. They're standing up as United States citizens. They're doing exactly what should be done, but no violence. They are using that procedure of the no violence situation of what I'm trying to do.
I applaud your statement. I agree with you there. And if you're speaking on Blog Talk Radio with folks who are disagreeing with that, well, perhaps they're impatient. And perhaps they're, you know, conservative or right-wing people who think that, you know, a very different idea than what the majority of folks are thinking about what the Wall Street bankers are doing and why this movement. It's not just in this country. This is happening.
No.
This monetary thing is happening all over the world. And the economic system that we run on are about to collapse over it.
Yeah, you're exactly right, ma'am. There's a situation going on over there in Chile. I don't know. I seen a video that they were holding guns or whatever. Maybe that was a different one, but there it's all over. It's over in Chile. I'm not very for sure of the other ones that I've seen out there, but it is not just in the United States. It's across America, you know.
Is. There is, if you have a pencil and a paper, and this is information I like to give every time on the show.
All right,
hold on. If you go to a website called Occupy Together, then you will find just exactly how many places across the world there are organizations, and I'm sure there's some place close to you. Where are you located?
I'm located up here in Lansing, Michigan, which is the capital. And you said that's OccupyTogether.com?
Uh-huh, or .org, I'm sorry. It's .org, O-R-G.
All right. Yeah,
there are actual groups in Michigan that are part of the Occupy movement, and you can find them. I don't know how close they are to you, but there are people around you who feel the same about this. This movement is what they call a populist movement, and actually more than half of the country now is approving of this movement. And the violence that was that was done to this, you know, this guy was a two-term retired or mustered out Marine from Iraq who got shot last night. He was a veteran for peace who was part of the Occupy movement in Oakland. When this kind of a thing happens, the whole country stops and they say, what? It just makes it grow even bigger. And before he got shot, before this happened, there was already almost half of the country approving of the Occupy Wall Street group and why they're doing what they're doing. Many of them, the majority of people, see it as them saying that they're sick and tired of 1% of the banking community telling the rest of the world how to live and cheating them and robbing from them their savings and their homes and being bailed out with our hard-earned tax money. This is where the basis of it is. But it's really about reestablishing moral values in our society again and taking care of our neighbors and making sure that everybody has enough to be healthy and to be taken care of if they're sick. We live in a world that's gone mad. It's got to change or we're all going to die, you know? We're polluting the world. We're polluting the world to death. And it's all for the profit of 1% of people. And that's what these folks are saying. It's enough is enough is enough.
And actually, I don't know how long it took the 99%. Or some of these groups. I've been saying this since I was 10. I'm 27 now. And that's been a long time ago. I've been trying to tell people to get prepared, get ready, because it's about to become something. And I don't know, just one day, just before this whole Occupy thing came together, and it came out there in the world to all these states. I just claimed on YouTube that I put together a group called Band of Brothers because of a racist thing came towards my way. And a lot of people feel the same way I do, and a lot of my people in my community feel the same way. And we up here, we do not put up with that kind of stuff. We do not put up with racism. We do not put up with police brutality. We do not put up with the government, the way they're lying to us. We're not about to stand down for this. And, yeah, it took me a while to come up with it. Yes, it's taken me a while to get things done. That's because, like you said, insufficient funds that we do not have. Some people cannot get across the world, and I want to. I really am going to make a propaganda here pretty soon. In 2 weeks, I get to talk to the mayor, like I told you, and I'm trying to get and speak with Lansing, the Lansing mayor, which has not, for some reason, he's not in office at this point. I tried to talk to Obama today, but that didn't happen either.
The politicians are very hard to lock down in all this. And one of the reasons is because the Occupy movement doesn't want to be co-opted by either side of a political party. This has gone beyond politics. This is about human decency. I'm going to play a clip right now that is a bit of a historical lesson on the last time movements like this began during the Great Depression. This is from the Rachel Maddow Show, so if you give it a minute to play out, it's a bit of a tape, but it's worth hearing.
24, Congress said American veterans of the First World War had earned a bonus of $1,000, but here's the catch. It could not be paid for about 20 more years. They couldn't collect it until 1945, or their families could collect it upon their death if that came before 1945. Well, along the way, the country fell into the Great Depression. Americans were starving to death. They were on bread lines. And the veterans, who knew that $1,000 was owed to them by the government, decided that they would much rather collect that now, please. That money was owed to them, they had earned it, and they needed it to feed their families now. So in the spring of 1932, in the middle of the Great Depression, the veterans marched into Washington because they wanted payment of that bonus they had earned in World War I. They were called the Bonus Army. The Bonus Army set up as an encampment in Washington, D.C., tens of thousands of people in a living political protest. History tells us that they kept their instant city clean. They integrated their camp racially, which was really quite radical at the time. We know that they grew gardens for food. They settled in for as long as it might take to make their point to Congress and to then-President Herbert Hoover. At least that's what the Bonus Army hoped. The head of the U.S. Army, General Douglas MacArthur, looked out at the peaceful protest of those veterans camping out and saw an embarrassment for his commander-in-chief. MacArthur mustered troops on horseback against the veterans' camp and followed those horses with tanks. The destruction began.
Then troops began to set fire to their wooden shacks. One reporter wrote, "The blaze was so big it lit the whole sky. A nightmare come to life." The president looked out a window of the White House in the direction of the fire, then retired for the night.
And the roaring flames sound the death knell to the fantastic Bonus Army that ends so disastrously in the shadow of the capital of the United States of America.
Two U.S. veterans were killed that day, but the movement grew. What does not kill you makes you stronger, they say. News of the raid, the first footage of what had happened, reached Americans in movie houses on newsreels that they used to show in theaters before the main feature. As Frank Rich describes in New York Magazine this week, when Americans saw those newsreels of MacArthur's army destroying the veterans' protest camp, Americans applauded the Bonus Army. They cheered for the Bonus Army. They booed General MacArthur. Yesterday, these images began to reach Americans. It's the police in Oakland, California, breaking up the Occupy Wall Street protest there, Occupy Oakland. Part of the Occupy Wall Street movement is for economic justice. This one in California, the police moved in with batons swinging. They tore down tents and smashed signs. They sent tear gas grenades into the crowd. The cops are also alleged to have fired rubber bullets, something they are denying, despite injuries to protesters that look like they were caused by rubber bullets. The police admit to firing beanbag rounds, though. Frankly, when you look at the footage of this, it rather looked and sounded like a small war. Washington, D.C., 1932, the raid on the Bonus Army. Oakland, California, 2011, the raid on Occupy Oakland, Occupy Wall Street. Two American scenes separated by almost a century. But put the old one in color, throw on some plaid shirts, and you almost could not tell them apart. In his story this week in New York Magazine, Frank Rich tells the story of the Bonus Army and of Occupy Wall Street. He titles it, quote, "The Class War Has Begun." Joining us now for the interview is Frank Rich. Frank, I'm so glad you could be here. Thanks for being here.
I'm delighted to be here, Rachel.
The scenes in Oakland this week were dramatic and upsetting. As we showed earlier tonight, one protester who's a young Iraq war veteran was reportedly seriously wounded in Oakland last night and is hospitalized. Does the use of force against these protests change their political impact?
It seems to. For instance, in New York, when this began, Bloomberg started out, there were some police actions, as we all know, that I think inflamed public opinion, again, sort of as in 1932, in favor of the Occupy Wall Street demonstrators. What happened in Oakland is horrifying, and I think will backfire, and it's certainly not going to put out this movement, which just seems to be spreading and whose core issues are gaining in popularity, as the polls you've cited tonight show, by the minute.
The right has been trying, and elected Republicans, but really even more so from the conservative media, has been trying to demonize the protesters. Today, FoxNews.com started to say they were all acorn. People like the former Fox News host, who now is just on the internet, I guess, Glenn Beck, was saying that this is a radical movement designed to destroy the American way of life, describing socialists and Islamists and all these other people. They're being derided as anti-American radicals. Is that what we should expect, or is that something potentially damaging to
it? I don't think it is potentially damaging, but interestingly, it's again what happened with the Bonus Army during the Depression. there was a lot of theories. They were communists. In fact, someone had the theory they were controlled by Jewish movie producers at MGM. I love that idea. And Secret Service was sent in to infiltrate the Bonus Army, but they couldn't find communists, or they found a few. What they mainly found were patriotic veterans out of work and desperate at a time, by the way, when, again, there was the highest income inequality until now. That was the biggest period. 1928 was the last peak of it, and at a time when Congress had bailed out banks and railroads, set up a new agency under Hoover, and then adjourned for the summer, leaving the Bonus Army to be routed. So I think it's going to backfire. And I think also that sort of Fox News, Glenn Beck, they're speaking to people who are going to feel this regardless. I think that it's an echo chamber. The polls have been remarkable on this because they keep going up. You know, Obama stayed away from this. Eric Cantor on the other side called them mobs when Occupy Wall Street started. Bloomberg was very critical. Then suddenly there was a Wall Street Journal, NBC News poll showing that 37% approved. Every poll since has gone up. Time had a poll, 54% of Americans approved the principles that the protesters are rallying behind. National Journal higher, the Times high, the Times CBS poll. So it keeps building.
There are two things at work here. There is the idea of what they stand for, which is anger at the sort of income inequality we were just talking about, and a sense of unfairness about who's gotten ahead and who's sort of getting away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And there is also the physical reality of the protest. And I wonder how important you see it is that this is a physical presence, that this is direct action, that this is not just an idea or a movement in concept, but a physical manifestation of this discontent.
You know, interestingly, I feel it's not always that important. They lit a fire. We live in a world unlike that of 1932, where we have a virtual reality in the form of social networking, different media. Things can move beyond the concrete corporal reality. So I feel, in a sense, you know, if you go down to Zuccotti Park, it's very small. It's much smaller than the encampment of the Bonus Army, for instance. But it's lit a fire, and now it seems that it's sort of taking off on its own. I've been in Baltimore and Washington the past 24 hours. They both had encampments. So they're, obviously, this is going on all over the place. Oakland's another example. There are many, even in Europe. But in the end, I think when you look at those polls and you see the anger that's out there from people who aren't demonstrating at all, this is something that's building beyond the physical presence of people in tents and protesting.
In seeing the police confrontations, and some of these confrontations are terrifying. Mm. And certainly the police say they're being provoked in many cases, denying use of force that is obvious in some cases. Like in Oakland, a lot of these confrontations are very problematic, are very hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
They're upsetting, and people are afraid. That said, I know from early in the protest, and I heard this from being there early in the protest, just going down to watch, people saying things like, police are part of the 99% too. I heard people chanting, police need a raise, police need a raise.
Absolutely. Look, there will always be crazy people, and there will always be provocateurs in any situation in the United States, no matter who it involves, regardless of politics. But I was last in Zuccotti Park on Sunday night, and it was exactly that. And the interchange between the police and the protesters there was completely polite, even when there were disagreements about whether they should clear a certain passageway. And a lot of it was just people talking.
Yeah.
And it was almost like a teach-in in the 60s, people explaining their ideas, some more sophisticated than others.
That talking, the fact that the conversation has changed to be about this discontent, about this anger, about the sense of unfairness, that change of the discussion, I think, is the biggest impact that we have, that we could hope for, and it's already happened.
It's remarkable to what extent it has.
Frank Rich, New York Magazine, your new piece on this is great. Thank you for reminding us all of the story of the Bonus Army and connecting those dots. It's great.
So basically, what's going on, was that any clarification for you? Of the larger picture of all of this, so many different groups everywhere.
Oh yeah, you know they made some points on there. I'm not it sounds like they were standing up, you know. It sounds like these reporters, but you never know who's with you or who's against you. But it did seem like, and to a point of this whole view, that they were with these people. So,
well, I basically am winding down to the last part of my show here, and for it, I'm going to actually read the response from the Occupy Wall Street General Assembly, which they have published online. And I certainly appreciate you calling in. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime.
And I hope it gave you some clarity here. I will bring us down today at the very end of this with what has been published from Occupy Wall Street. They say that today at Occupy Wall Street, we're looking across the country to the city of Oakland, where last night our fellow Americans were subjected to violence at the hands of their own government for exercising their constitutional freedoms that their government is sworn to protect. Last night, police forces violently raided Occupy Oakland, arresting 85 people and brutalizing many peaceful participants using excessive physical force, tear gas, and dangerous projectile rounds. That was very diplomatically put. Peaceful protest is an American birthright. It is not a crime. Among those injured is Scott Olson, a Marine Corps veteran who served in Iraq. Olson is in the hospital with a fractured skull. Scott, quote, "Scott is in stable but serious condition. As the neurologists decide whether to take him into surgery or ICU," said Joshua Shepard, a friend of Olson's. "The Oakland Police Department fired a tear gas canister at his head and it fractured his skull," as we said at the beginning of today's show. There is a video incident of the whole thing, which if you haven't seen, you can find at OccupyWallStreet.org. And you can see some pictures of folks that were taking him away, the citizens, the occupants that were taking him away and trying to get him some medical help. It goes on further to say that it is unconscionable that American government officials would sanction the use of such extreme force against peaceful citizens. Occupy Oakland has been a public forum set up on public land, concerned with critical public issues that the nation's financial crisis, consolidation of wealth and power, and the ability of citizens to meaningfully participate in the democratic process are being screwed around with. Those are my words, not theirs. This brutality carried out on the orders of the city government, and that would be Mayor Tuan, sends a chilling message, pardon me, to those who want to engage in civic processes to work for social change. Over a month ago, we went to the doorstep of Wall Street to say enough. That message has resonated across the country and around the world. Occupy Wall Street continues to build and a national movement of peace, occupations, and civil engagement has sprung up in every corner. Public officials must listen to the grievances of this popular movement. It is absolutely unacceptable to attempt to dissuade civil engagement through the use of brutality, repression, and retaliation against movement participants. This is America. All Americans have the freedom to peacefully protest our government. We have the right of grievance. That right defines who we are as a country and a people. When it's denied, all of America is much poorer for it. The mayor of Oakland and mayors of city governments across the country should get on the right side of history and honor all Americans' freedoms to peacefully assemble and civically engage. We call on all concerned people to send Oakland Mayor Kwan a message that the actions that she sanctioned are unconscionable. We ask supporters to please sign this petition. You can find that petition at OccupyWallStreet.org and forward it on to Oakland. Supporters can also call Mayor Kwan at 510-238-3141 to register disapproval. Tonight, that would be this evening, in Manhattan, Occupy Wall Street will hold a march in solidarity with Occupy Oakland at 9 p.m. And the details will be announced, so take a look at your Twitter feeds and all of that. I would like to mention that while all of this was going on last night late in Oakland, across the bay, the President of the United States, Barack Obama, was having a fundraiser at 30-something K a plate to raise money to tell you pretty lies, like he did the last time, pretty lies he has no intention of keeping. Right across the bay from all of this brutality, the President of the United States was taking money. He was taking money so he would have greater ability to tell you a lot of lies. Lots of lies. So I'm going to leave you with that one. And I thank the caller for calling in. I hope it gave him some clarity. For those of you who listen in the archives and those of you listening back there today, I really appreciate it. This has been Here Be Monsters. And we are here every day boycotting the media, the major news media, and we will be here every day as long as there is a Occupy in the good old world. Really appreciate you listening in, and I'm going to leave you with the sounds of Occupy Oakland from last night. These are the sounds of Occupy Oakland last night, where right across the bay, the President of the United States, Barack Obama, was collecting 30-something a plate to tell more pretty lies to be elected and do nothing.
That way.